This morning's reading is from John chapter 10, verse 1 to 10. I am the good shepherd. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.
All right, I'll just get the kids to come up for a very short kids talk before we send you off into, thank you, into kids' church this morning. All right. In the Bible, God made lots of promises to his people, but he made a very special promise we're going to talk about today. He promised that he would be sending his very special king. One of the promises said that this special king was going to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. Now, many years later, Jesus, the promised king, did exactly that. He rode into Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday now, on a donkey. As he did that, the people were singing and praising and shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna to the king! Because Jesus, the king, the promised king they had been waiting for, had arrived. And we too can sing Hosanna because Jesus is our King. Now, last Palm Sunday, we sang a song, and the grown-ups may remember, and so I'll get them to sing along. And we're going to sing it very quickly before you guys head off to kids' church. And it sounds like this. I'll sing it, and the grown-ups can join in, and then we'll sing it again with hopefully some of the kids joining in the second time round. It sounds like this. Why don't you sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. I wanna sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Very good. Shall we try one more time with the kids joining in? If you want. Why don't you sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. I wanna sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Jesus is our King. Let's pray now. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much that you came to rescue us. We thank you that you are the promised king that God sent to rescue his people. We pray that you would help us to trust you as our king every day. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, kids, you're going to head off to kids' church now. Have a lovely time.
All right. Good morning, everyone. We are looking at John 10 this morning. If you have a title in your Bible, it might say, I'm the Good Shepherd, which I thought that was a spider, it's not. The Good Shepherd is the sort of big metaphor here. We're going to be looking at I'm the Door today, and then we'll look at I'm the Good Shepherd on Friday. So just if you're wondering, there's enough on the door for us to sink our teeth into. So I first started thinking about what is a door? Just thinking of the Hunt for the Wilder People where he talks about another door and what's behind that door, another door. Anyway, that could keep going on. And I remembered my politics class in, I think it was year 11 or 12, and my teacher asked us to describe a door, to explain a door, to evaluate a door. And I think he was trying to make a point about the different things that we were being asked to do in politics, where you'd have describe X, explain Y, evaluate this Z. And he asked me, put me on the spot, and he was like, Jared, explain a door. And I didn't do a very good job of it. I basically tried to sell the door. I tried to market the door. I spoke about how great the door is, not really talking about what the door did. And so if you were to think about how to describe a door, I mean, you could describe it something like an object that seals an entryway, often made of wood in the case of standard doors, or glass in the case of sliding doors, or metal in the case of car doors. I didn't get that from Google. That's just out of my head. And then if you were to explain how a door works, you know, maybe you'd say something like, a door usually works by twisting the knob or handle or lifting the latch to release the mechanism, holding it in place, and then a push-pull motion that opens the entrance and then closes it again. That's how I would go about explaining a door. That's not what I said in my Year 12 politics class. And then finally, to evaluate a door, you might say a door is useful. It's useful for containing, this is probably more my area, where I was like, think of all the door things the door can do. Containing areas, keeping people and things protected from the elements and danger, as well as keeping uninvited guests out. So if you think about the door, it's got those multiple different purposes and applications. In the case of a sheepfold, a door is used both to keep the sheep in and to keep the robbers out. It could be a gate, a door. This is a similar function. A door brings security, and when threats are around, a door brings salvation. We're going to read those verses 7 to 10 again, so just follow along in your Bibles if you've got them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So if you like points, here are the 3 points for today. The door is the way into the fold. The door is the way to be saved. And the door is the way to abundant life. So the door is the way into the fold, to be saved, to abundant life. And we're going to look at each of those in turn. The first, the door is the way into the fold. Now, I've sort of subheaded this, the legit entrance contrasted with robbers who try to break in. What's particularly going on here is not just entering by another way, although yes, that is definitely part of it, but it's entering by another way on purpose with the intent to do harm. Can you see that? If you look in that passage, the thieves and the robbers, they're coming in to steal and kill and destroy. Their purpose is not kind of, we were wandering around and we got lost. No, it's we actually want to do harm. That's the situation that Jesus is addressing here. And so it's more like breaking and entering. I remember seeing a cop show, I like cop shows, where the people, there were these two young detectives walking around and there was a breaking and entering, and someone's looking and the first one says, "I think this was an inside job." but the glass was all on the floor inside the house, so obviously somebody had smashed it from the outside in. And I think the point that I want to make is that the Pharisees and the other people, the religious elite here who are trying to get into this fold, are doing this in a very sinister, underhanded way to cause serious harm. And just like a sheepfold, there are ways of trying to climb in over walls or dig under things or whatever. And then there's the legitimate entrance. There, either you go in through the legitimate entrance or you try and find another way in. And the Pharisees and the religious elite here are, they correspond with the thieves and the robbers. It's a good indication, if you've got to look this way, and you've got to look that, well, that was a bit loud, and you've got to look that way before you go through, that's a good indication that it's not the legitimate entrance. because they want, there's a sort of underhanded nature to all of this. And the irony of all that is that they think they're the ones doing everything by the book. They think that everything they've done is above board. They probably hand out Shepherd of the Month awards to one another because of how great they think they are. But actually they correspond to the false prophets and the false teachers and the false shepherds of the Old Testament that Jesus refers to when he says all who come before me, all who came before me in verse 8 are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. You see, there's a history, an Old Testament history of false prophets, false teachers, false shepherds. And while the Pharisees think they are true shepherds, true prophets, true teachers, the reality is they aren't. They've actually come in to break and enter and to harm the sheep. But Jesus says, I am the door. He says, I am the entrance. The only way into the sheepfold is through Jesus. He's the only legitimate way in. He's the only way in to God. You can't get to God via any other way. So if we think about how does this relate to us, well, the first thing is enter via Jesus. Come into the fold. If there's anything that's keeping you from being in the fold, it's not worth it. Give it up. Come to Jesus. Enter by him. Come have life in Jesus Christ. And then if we've entered, let's remember that we've entered through Jesus. That there wasn't anything that we did or kind of any sort of haphazard way that we tried to get through. No, it's through Jesus and him alone that we come to God. And then secondly, to recognize those who reject Jesus as the false prophets, teachers, shepherds that they are. Because there are lots of people around who would still, like the Pharisees and like the thieves and the robbers, try to take us away from Christ, to try to divert our attention away from him, to try to get us to think about entering by another way. There is no other way. Let's move on. The door is the way to be saved. Building on that point we've just looked at, Jesus says, those who enter by the door will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. That is to say, they're rescued and nourished. So if you think about this in sort of two big points, you've got them being rescued and being nourished. So let's start with being rescued. In the context of the sheepfold, you've got the protection of the sheep. The sheep in the metaphor corresponds to God's people. Just in case you're trying to think, how does that work? The fold being in God's fold. Yeah, I mean, that's not a great way of defining that, Jared. but being in God's family and being protected under his care. So those who are God's sheep are protected from those who would seek to hurt them. You see, the Pharisees and the others who want to harm the sheep, they can't do that when the sheep are safe in the fold, protected by the shepherd. They will be saved from those who would seek to take them away from the shepherd. They're guarded from vulnerability under the shepherd's watchful eye. And they're saved not only in the sense of being protected from thieves and robbers and false prophets and false teachers, they are, but even more than that, saved from our ultimate enemies that those false teachers and prophets are serving, sin, death, and the devil. And Jesus brings about that salvation entirely. And that's why, you know, we if you're thinking through the list of the I am statements in John, and you think the bread of life, you think the good shepherd, you think the resurrection and the life, and you hear the door, we might sort of feel like that seems a bit out of place. It's not out of place. It's a beautiful metaphor that Jesus uses to highlight the way in, the way to be saved, and then in addition to that, the way to be nourished. You see, because Jesus says their needs will be provided for through him. You notice that he says they will go in and out. That doesn't mean that we kind of do the hokey pokey with being in God's family. That's not what that's saying. It's not in, out, shake it all about. No, that's not what it is at all. It means that Jesus, who is continuing to watch over his flock, will take his flock out of the fold for a purpose to find pasture. He will provide for our needs. And we remain in his flock, in his fold, even as he takes us wherever it is that he wills to take us. Has anyone seen Clarkson's Farm? Yeah, I've got a few fans in here. Great, that's excellent. Yeah, he's a funny man. I love Gerald. Does anyone know who Gerald is? He's the guy, you know what I mean? it's just like, yeah, Jeremy has no idea what the guy's saying. I have no idea what he's saying, but it's just so good. I love it. I mean, if I'm not a big podcast person, but if Gerald had a podcast, I'd listen to it. Anyway, the one of the things that you do when you're farming is rotational grazing. Anyone know about that? Yep, great. A few nods here. So you move the flock around, don't you, to different areas so that they can be nourished and receive pasture. They need that food. They need the nutrients. They need all of that. And so the point is that the shepherd who watches over his sheep will take his sheep out through the door and bring them back in again. It doesn't mean they're going out of his family or anything. It just means Jesus is using the metaphor to show that he, the door, is the one who provides salvation, and he, the door, is the one who provides nourishment. He gives all that we need. Pasture includes things like food, water, provided by Jesus. Have a read of or listen to Matthew 6:31-34. Jesus says this: "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." God does provide for our physical needs. But if we concern ourselves with those needs, if that becomes the primary thing, we lose sight of God and his kingdom and his righteousness. And what's the result of that? Well, ironically, we don't feel better. We feel worse. We feel more panicked. We realize how our attempts to control are attempts at futility. And this just leads to further compounding anxiety. I've had a bit of a stressful week this week trying to sort out a passport for a country that isn't this one. And it's a bit of a tricky process. There's a lot of forms, a lot of bureaucracy. And if you've spoken to me over the past 2 weeks, you've probably heard me express a little bit of, what am I doing? And praise God, by his grace, the application has gone through and hopefully it all gets approved. But reading this verse was really helpful for me to just be reminded that sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I love that. Tomorrow's going to worry about tomorrow. Jared, what are you doing worrying about tomorrow? Like, tomorrow's its own thing. There's a lot of... If we worried about everything that was to come in the future, we'd spend our whole lives worrying. And we couldn't add a single hour to our life by doing that. So what are we worrying about? And I think it was in the Fantastic Beasts movie where the guy said, if you worry, you suffer twice. Now, that's true. But even more than that, if we worry, we're losing sight of Christ. We're losing sight of his rule. We're losing sight of the fact that he who made this universe has everything in his hands. And he calls us to seek him. To seek him first. And there's more going on than just our physical needs, aren't there? We have holistic needs as people, and those find their fulfillment in Jesus. And what I mean by this is we need to be saved. We need to be saved from sin, death, and the devil, as well as our need to be sanctified by the Holy Spirit, and our need to be provided for, to be nourished by Jesus, that we might grow in Christ-likeness and in our love for him and others. You see, our deepest longings for nourishment, for sustenance and endurance can only be met in Christ the door, who opens the way for us to have all that we need. And all that centered on him. So as you think about the door to salvation and nourishment, let's remember, let us trust Jesus for our salvation from sin, death and the devil. And let us trust Jesus to keep us safe from threats from outside, from whether that be false teachers, false prophets, false shepherds, and the threats from, you know, attacks from the enemy that would seek to try and take us away from him. Let's trust that Jesus has conquered them all, because that's exactly what he has done. And rejoice that Jesus is the door who saves, the door who opens the way for our nourishment and sustenance, and the door who would keep those who would seek to harm us out. And let's look to the shepherd for nourishment and fulfillment and satisfaction. We won't find it anywhere else. Finally, the door is the way to abundant life. Jesus tells us in this passage that robbers come to steal, kill, and destroy. Christ has come to give life abundantly. What's the problem with robbers? They take everything literally. That's just a joke for you. It's a pretty bad joke, but I like it. So what are the robbers in this passage? They're the false teachers. They're the ones who are trying to lead people away from Christ. They're the people who are trying to steal sheep from the shepherd. They're trying to take them out of the fold, and not only take them out of the fold, but to kill them, try to put them to death, to try to destroy them as well, to completely wipe out the sheep. And you can see this, you can see why the Pharisees are on such a horrible mission here. All of the religious elite who's set against Christ, they're trying to harm God's people. They're trying to destroy them under the guise of trying to care for them. You see how sinister that is? This is really, really underhanded. And so we can see how evil that is, that these robbers are coming with this mission of harm and destruction. And it's against God and it's against his people. You know, God is not happy or looking upon it favorably when these people are coming to try to destroy his people. Now, God loves his sheep. You know, the God who would leave the 99 and go and rescue that one sheep that wandered off. This is the God who cares deeply about every last sheep. He doesn't look indifferently upon those who would seek to lead them astray or harm them or anything like that. But not only is he not happy with that, he's done everything to stop that, because Jesus is the door who gives life. He gives his sheep a home and pasture and salvation. He gives them the opposite of death, vitality, vigor, breath in our lungs. Jesus gives us the state of being alive, true life. But he also gives us life abundantly. You know, we're not talking about just scraping by here. You know, sometimes we can feel like, oh, how are we? Well, we're alive. You know, we're surviving. We can feel this sense of everything is really hard, and I'm just kind of trying to hold on to the fact that there's breath in my lungs. And now that is important. Jesus definitely gives us life, but he not only gives us life, he gives us abundant life. That's what he says here. He says, "I've come to give them life." Life abundantly. He gives this true, wonderful life to us. Now, this doesn't mean that he's going to give you the plane or the mansion or the XR6 or whatever it is you want. It doesn't mean that you'll never go through hardship. It doesn't mean that life is all sunshine and roses and unicorns. But it does mean that he gives us the kind of life where we genuinely thrive, where we're filled with purpose, and where we can have and do have exceedingly joyful lives that are fulfilled. And this is because that abundant life doesn't require you to have abundant possessions or abundant success or even abundant lack of problems. No, there are plenty of people with plenty of stuff and plenty of success and very few problems who know nothing of Jesus and the abundant life he gives. And likewise, there are stacks of people with nothing but problems who know this abundant life in Jesus. You know, sometimes you see people in various parts of the world who have nothing. Materially, they have nothing. They don't even know when they're going to eat next. But they have life in Jesus, and so they have everything. Whereas you see people here who have everything, all of the bells and whistles, whatever it is, but they've got nothing because they don't have Jesus. And so this abundant life is intimately connected with having Jesus, because you can't find that abundant life anywhere else. God has set a longing in our hearts for eternity and for him, and no one and nothing else can satisfy it but Jesus Christ our Lord. And so when we receive him, we come to receive this abundant life that overcomes everything else in our lives, that this abundant life, which corresponds to the eternal life we have in him, this eternal relationship of knowing him that starts now and continues forevermore, that's where we find our full and ultimate purpose. So how does Jesus being the door to abundant life apply to us? Well, let's reject the lies of those who'd want to take us away from Christ. You know, however subtle they are, maybe it comes up in a TV show, maybe you see it on a social media post. Anyone or anything that would take you away from Christ, say no to that. Reject it. That's from hell. That's not from him. Embrace Christ. Embrace Jesus and the gift he offers us. Embrace that life, that abundant life in him. Live in that abundant life. Embrace the reality that even when our circumstances are not good, even when they're as bad as they can be, we have Jesus and he has overcome. Let us reject wallowing and embrace rejoicing. Don't look around and get disheartened. Look up and be encouraged. And never forget that Jesus is the door who brought you into life and who ensures you continue in life and blesses you with life that isn't scraping by, but is thriving now and forevermore. Jesus is the door into the fold. He's the door to be saved. He's the door to abundant life. We talk about doors being opened and closed, don't we? And you know, sometimes we can feel like, man, if God just opened that door, or maybe even I just want that door to be opened so much, then I'd have life. Then I'd have abundant life. You know, whether it's the bounty of confectionery, or whether it's that relationship, that career, that passport, that house, that postcode, then I'd really be living. We can be fooled into thinking that those are the things are the door to abundant life, when the reality is, it's Christ. Christ alone is the door to abundant life. I don't know how you've come into church this morning. Maybe some of us are feeling downtrodden from a tough week or a tough year, whatever it is. Maybe some of us in our hearts don't get what our heads know. Maybe some of us feel a total lack of abundance in any way. Maybe some of us feel a sort of spiritual imposter syndrome, like, oh, no, not me. I could never really enter the fold. Friends, Jesus is the door, and he's calling us to come to himself. Our entrance is not legitimate because of what we've done, but because of what he's done. He's inviting us to enter into life through him, the only legitimate entrance. When Christ, the door, welcomes us in, we need not feel any sort of lack of belonging because he's already taken all of our sin. He's taken all of our shame. He's dealt with that on the cross, and he's risen powerfully so that we can enter the fold. We can enter through the legitimate entrance, Christ. Maybe some of us feel desensitized to the wonder of what it is to be nourished and saved by Jesus. You know, maybe our familiarity with these realities makes it feel mundane when that couldn't be further from the truth. Christ, the door, has done what we could never do, what we're utterly powerless to do. He's performed the most amazing, most awesome rescue ever. Yet he's done what is absolutely necessary for any of us to be free from condemnation and enter eternal life. And this is wondrous. This is awesome. This is magnificent and worth singing about. It's worth shouting from the rooftops because this is all about Jesus, the King, who has welcomed us in and is in the business, that's a funny word, but of welcoming more people in. And maybe, you know, maybe some of us are just scraping by. In a world filled with war and conflict and destruction and high petrol prices and amidst an increasing cost of living, perhaps we do feel often like, oh, we're just surviving, you know, just scraping by. That's it. And I want to encourage us that Jesus has more for us than that, more than merely surviving. As the door, indeed, he does give life. He does cause us to be able to survive. But not merely breath in our lungs, but a life of abundance. The kind of abundance that isn't in any way about getting lots of stuff, but impacts our lives more than stuff ever could. A life of true joy when our circumstances are terrible. A a life of true peace when others disdain us for our faith in Christ, a life of true love when we're surrounded by a world filled with a lot of hate, a life of true intimacy with Christ in a world that has entirely warped ideas of what intimacy looks like, a life of true eternity when we're surrounded by temporal things and people whose minds are wholly consumed by temporal things, and a life of true abundance, because that abundance comes from Christ. Friends, let's listen to God's call for us to embrace Jesus, the door into the fold, the door to salvation and nourishment, the door to abundant life. And let's hold out that hope for the people around us, knowing that we need Jesus, the door, just as much as they do.